You're listening to Hot 64 FM, New Donk City Radio, presented to you by OKBeast.com, hosted by Blessing Adeoye Jr. and Alex Van Aken.
Yo, what's up? You are now listening to episode 2 of New Donk City Radio, the number one Super Mario Odyssey podcast. We can say that now, after getting to, what, number 55 on iTunes, is that right?
Number 47.
47.
I don't know. I stopped checking after a while. So we could say maybe like top 20 people would believe us.
Yeah.
No one would ever
know. This is specific to the video games podcast chart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, I think it's still a feat, but it's not as contested.
We made it
not
as high on the games and hobbies, but
yeah.
We charted on the games.
We made it to like, what, 124 or something like that?
Yeah, on the combined one.
Yeah, which
that has those crazy car people on it. So
yeah, that has like people like Car Talk. That has all of like the random like hobbies and in game stuff. And so I think I'm proud of us.
Shout out to everyone who reviewed us.
Yeah, shout out to everybody who reviewed. We should
I think
also
we
like
specifically said we were gonna call people out. I think we promised that. So shout out to the LHZ. He said, "Okay, Beast is putting together a great family of podcasts. Be sure to check out their other content." Thanks, Luke Han Solo. That's Luke. You'll see him in Extra Life.
Nice.
Lefty Loggy. Sorry, Logan. He says, based off of the moving theme song provided, which could bring tears to the coldest of hearts, New Donk City seems like the perfect tonic for a weary world. Come on in, take your shoes off, slip into your favorite chair, and let the OK Beast Boy serenade you with the latest Mario happenings. Except Moises. Aww. Watch out for him.
Sorry, we're not letting Moises on this podcast.
I don't want to read them all off because we'll shout people more out on future episodes. But
yeah, and we have another segment which we shout people out to, which is Question of the Week, which we'll get to at the end of the episode.
Yep.
Plenty of chances to be involved here on New Donk City Radio. Also joining us, of course, we have Alex Van Aken, who I was just talking to. We have another Alex on the show, a very special Alex. Even more special than Van Aken, we have Alex O'Neill of Rational Passions. How's it going, Alex?
Hi, it's good. It's an honor to be invited on a top 100 podcast. I've never done that before. So,
oh dang!
Excuse me, Pixel Pulse Radio. I know it's not this fancy Irrational Passions.
Was that top 100?
It was, but no, but it was just because my family. I was like, Mom, please rate me. And she's like, okay, I'll make 5 fake accounts for your new podcast.
It's like texting Ansi that you never met before.
Yeah,
that's dedication, though. Shout out to your mom.
I know, my mom's dope.
Alex O'Neill. So I'm gonna have to refer to you guys to by your last names now.
Just refer to me as A Swizzy for the rest of the show, please.
All right, we got A Swizzy and O'Neill. So O'Neill, like, where should people know you from?
I host a video games podcast called Irrational Passions Podcast. I think that's probably the biggest thing. I'm on Twitter. I don't necessarily throw out a lot of hot takes, so it's maybe at AlFighter27 is maybe not as interesting Twitter account. And irrationalpassions.com. There's a bunch of great content written there by myself and my writing team, and it just recently got a big overhaul. So if people went and checked that out, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, and I saw that overhaul. That dude, your website is looking awesome. I especially love the new logo. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super sleek, super clean. It's like the type of logo that I'm super into.
Yes.
Yeah, and like it's kind of what I suggest or what I tried to swing for the OK Beast logo, mm-hmm. or what I tried to suggest since Alex made it. And Alex had a very good vision for it.
Big inspiration for that logo too. So.
Oh yeah! Thanks, man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude, Rash Passions is killing it.
Thank you.
I like it because like whenever I talk about you guys, I can easily it's easy to describe you guys as irrationally passionate,
mm-hmm.
and so like it kind of rolls off the tongue that way. But thank you so much for
you're so
coming
freaking
on.
Cheesy, Blessing.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said you're so cheesy. When I think of you guys, I think of irrationally passionate people.
Yeah.
No, Alex, we talk about you a lot behind the scenes. How
good.
We hate you.
Mostly
good
things.
I mean, I like, honestly, OK Beast is like my inspiration for a lot of things. I feel like I think of us on like the same tier as far as things and as mm-hmm. far as like the way we go about doing things and like the passion behind it. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I like all the cross-pollination that we've been able to do recently. So
me yeah. too. Me
and
too.
I feel like it's been overdue, kind of, because I think I was on Irrational Passions about a year ago. I think it was like last November or something like mm-hmm. that. And I had you on OK Beast, like when the podcast originally started. I think you were probably on like one of the first 10 or 20 episodes.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's been a while since like we actually got to talk. I talked to you briefly at KFL. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I figured it'd be awesome to have you on. Since like you're when we started, you were probably one of the inspirations. People like you, people like Pitts, people like as far as people we saw who were in the KF community that were killing it and doing it big. Like you guys were some of the people we looked to. Then of course we looked to people like KF and people like you know IGN, of course, Giant Bomb, all those guys. And so yeah, we wanted to get you on because you also have some good input on Mario Odyssey because you've been playing it.
Yes.
What, so, for context, today is Monday, and so we've been playing this game for around 3 or 4 days, which is weird because it feels like I've been playing this game forever.
Yeah.
What are you guys' initial thoughts? Let me start with you, O'Neal. What are your initial thoughts?
I really like it, and the big takeaway I took away from it, and I talked about it on the most recent episode of Rational Passions podcast, which was just kind of very briefly playing it, like very tired Friday night delirium, lost in Mario's fantasy world, is that it? While it's executed on very differently than Breath of the Wild, I think the philosophy behind this game is very similar to that game, in that it is using a very intelligent visual language to convey possibility to the player and what they can do and what is available to them, and not only that, it is teaching the player and then slowly at a very good pace expecting more intuition from the player because it has mm-hmm. taught them more which makes more sense for a Mario game because it's structured by levels and whatnot, so like each level is slightly more complex and slightly more is pulling just a little bit more out of you as the player than the last, and seeing that escalation is really really rewarding.
Yeah. Alex, what about you? What are you making?
Yeah, it's a Mario game. It's good. No. So going into it, I wasn't sure what to expect. Like I'd seen, I'd watched and read a lot of reviews that day and kind of had some stuff spoiled for me, which is fine. Like I was kind of, you kind of have to go into reviews that way. But I think people were like heralding it as like this Breath of the Wild of Mario. And I don't think it's quite that for me. Like it's not this for reference, Breath of the Wild was like my first Zelda that I completed and it was just like totally like encaptured me. And I don't think I'm there with Mario yet, but I do think it's like it's incredible. And it's a really great Mario game so far. And again, I'm not as well versed in 3D Mario's. The last one I played like really like at length was Mario 64. I played a bit of Galaxy and Galaxy 2, but, that was about it. So 3D Mario, it's kind of like elusive for me. Like I didn't really know what to think, right? And so going into it, I had high hopes, like especially after seeing reviews and early impressions. So it's actually the first midnight launch I went to in like 10 years. It was really fun. And got home Thursday night, played for 3 or 4 hours, and really just got, I mean, it's gorgeous, like absolutely gorgeous. The music's great. And it's just fun. Like it's, I feel like with Mario, it's like, it's, there's no real like objective for me. Like I'm just like enjoying my time, just exploring. And that's kind of what this game is and what it does best. And I really, really enjoy it.
Nice. I think for me, as far as my initial impressions, like going into it for maybe the first like 5, 6, 7 kingdoms, my initial impressions were I was still apprehensive about it, like mm-hmm. because going in I had super high expectations. Like if you know me, you know Mario 64 is like my favorite game of all time, like period. Yeah. There's nothing above that for me. And so the prospect of this game going back to that formula of like we're gonna be a sandbox game, we're gonna be open, we're gonna allow you to approach worlds in the way you want and kind of just go around and do what you want, it's gonna be a playground kind of thing instead of the linearity of Galaxy and Galaxy 2. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm in this. Like, this is the opportunity to have like another game that's going to be one of my favorite games I ever played. So I started playing this game, right? And I was like, okay, this is awesome. Like, it's giving me Galaxy vibes. Like, it's giving me, like, it's obviously polished. It's obviously a great Nintendo game. But I still had that apprehension because, like, going into it, so they dish out the moons a lot, right? You get you turn a corner, you see a moon. You, like, flip something over, you see a moon. And at first I was like, oh, this is great. And then I started being like, okay, well, these are a lot of moons. Okay, now this game is kind of easy. And I was mentioning to you guys, like, I have some critiques about this game, but I was holding judgment, right? I was kind of like, I'm going to see where this goes. I'm going to see how I feel about it towards wherever I go. After getting to, I think I'm on my 8th or 9th kingdom, I'm, like, absolutely in love with this game. Like, I don't know what the Switch was. In fact, I might know what the Switch is, that, like, switched me from, like, I don't know if this is going to be, like, if this is this grand experience to, like, okay, I'm sold that I'm in love with this game.
Yeah.
One of the Switches was Dudonk City. Like,
once I have yet to get there, so maybe I haven't experienced everything yet. Yeah. Like,
Dudonk City is awesome. It is my favorite thing it's my favorite level of a game this year. It is, like, and it's one of my favorite moments in a game this year. In terms of, there are even spoilers as far as, like, things that happen, but, like, as far as the level itself, you go there, right? And the way the world exists, it is, one, the aesthetics is awesome, but we're all already familiar with the aesthetic of, like, New York City, okay? There's the fact that, like, there are no enemies in New York City. Like, the whole city is pretty friendly with you. Like, it is just a space to explore. Like, nothing's really fighting back against you, which is really alternative to the feel of video games in general, let alone this game, to where, like, you're used to, like, Goombas and all the enemies and stuff. New York City is just a city where people are like, hey, you want to jump rope? Sure. You want to do this? Sure. You want to do that? And then there's just, like, this, there's this verticality to it. There's just the whole layout of it is pushing you to look inside buildings, look inside alleyways. It forces you to look at the level in a way that you don't look at other levels, which I really appreciate. And so playing through New Donk City and even, like, having, like, the whole New Donk City experience from beginning to end, I was like, okay, this level is amazing. There's that, and then the other switch for me that switched me from, I don't know, to, like, okay, this is amazing, is discovering the dive move, which sounds very, like, arbitrary or very, like, whatever, but, like,
yeah.
In Mario 64, if you run, jump, and press B, you do, like, a dive in the air, and that move feels very good to do. And for the first, like, 6 kingdoms, I didn't think that move was in this game until I accidentally did it by pressing.
Gotta read that action guide.
I read the action guide. It wasn't there when I read it, or maybe I just missed it because I went
it's
through it. And
definitely
I was like,
in
I don't
the action
it.
Guide.
Yeah. I totally missed it.
I was doing it in, like, the Cap Kingdom. This is fun.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do is to now throw my hat or jump, throw my hat, dive on my hat, bounce off my hat, throw my hat again, dive. Well, it doesn't matter if I throw my hat again because it doesn't do the thing. But, like, I'll dive. So you can be very mobile and athletic in this game, which I love. But that dive move changed everything to me to where I was like, okay, now this game feels right. This game feels like I'm able to maneuver in a way that feels, I don't know, it feels great. It feels athletic. It feels very Mario. It feels very 3D Mario.
Are you playing this on the Pro Controller?
I'm switching back and forth. I'm playing on the Pro Controller on my TV. And then when I'm handheld, I'm playing it on the, you know, Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
So,
this is one of those first games where I'm like, ooh, it's a little cramped on the Joy-Con. Just because there is some, like, you need to hold buttons down while you're pressing other ones. It's a little cramped. So I think I'm going to, for the rest of, if I can manage it, I'm going to try to play docked with my Pro Controller for the rest of, like, the game. See if that changes things for me. But I think, were you going to say something, Alex? Or
I was just curious, Blessing, like, your take, because you're also a big Rare fan like I am. Like, they've really adapted the Rare philosophy in this game, I think, of not punching you out of the level at any point. You just kind of keep going and keep collecting. How did you feel about that?
I absolutely love it. That's one of my favorite changes they made to this game from, like, the old formula. Because, and they even did this in the Galaxy games. They did this in Sunshine. They did this in 64 where, like you said, you'd get the goal, you get the star, you get the whatever, and then they'd bump you out, and then you have to jump in again and do, like, choose the next objective. This one, the fact that you're in there, and it's the same formula as Banjo, except for, like, the main difference is that there are 69 moons instead of, like, however many puzzle pieces. Yeah, like, 10 puzzle pieces or whatever. It is awesome. Like, I messaged... So, this is a very weird reference to make, but as I was playing, I messaged Alex and the Okie Beast people, and I was like, I'm thinking about making a video about why Tony Hawk Underground is a wonderful 3D platformer, because it took me back to the feeling of just like playing Mario took me back to the feeling of just running around, exploring, do these super random things and doing these like wonderful puzzles and seeing like the chain reactions of them, and just getting to be and experience a level. Like, not getting kicked out allows you to just be in a space and appreciate a space for what it is, the way that being kicked out kind of doesn't. So yeah, that was one of my favorite design decisions. How'd that affect you?
Like, I really like that you're more encouraged to kind of explore the distraction, right? Like, one of the tropes of Mario, especially like recent 3D Marios, has been like, collect these 5 silver stars and then you get a star. And that is in Odyssey as well. But like, let's say I have 2 of the like moon coins to get of the 5 to get a moon. You will see like a door and you're, oh, let me go find out what this is. You come back, you still have this 2 moon coins. You can still keep going down that. And when you're finding the other 3, maybe you see something that you can capture and go find another area. It feels like I can break away and kind of satisfy those urges of distractions. Whereas like, I think back to like Sunshine in 64, where it's like, all right, this is the one where I'm going to get this one. And maybe like I get really close to 100 coins. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, if I'm this close, I should just get the 100 coin star and then start this other one all over again. Like, it's just, I don't have to think about that. It just takes a lot of this kind of tension or pressure off of exploration. And that's something that I don't think Mario in a 3D space has ever really had either.
Yeah.
And it's really nice.
So how long and how far are you in the game so far?
I don't know our count, but like I told you guys before we started recording, I believe I am on the last kingdom. I'll put it this way. I have one, you know, you're building like the blimp balloon on the Odyssey. I have one sliver left, right, to fill in, which I believe I will do after I finish the kingdom that I'm on without saying too much.
Nice. So. Nice, man. So you've gotten pretty much almost the full experience. How does this like rank so far as like other games this year? Is this top 1, top 3, top 5, top 10 for you?
I would say it's probably top 10. And like, I'm a bit where you were at, Blessing, I think, where I think I still have some misgivings. There are things that I don't like, for example, that maybe we can loop back around to. Because we're still kind of in the more positive first impression parts of it. But I really like it. You know, the thing I'm taking away from this is what I always take away from Mario is that, like, you know, Mario doesn't hit me the same way Zelda does. Breath of the Wild, like clotheslined me in a way that few video games ever have. So to think that it would kind of overlap that is a little absurd, especially like in a year where games like for me like Persona have come out and whatnot. So I really do love it though, and this was the first time I was excited going into a Mario game. Like the other ones I just have kind of jumped into by happenstance, like 3D World. I wasn't like necessarily excited about, but when I got into it, I'm like, oh, this is great, I'm having a great time, this is super fun. This was like, there was anticipation, there's build up, there's want to play this. And it definitely hasn't disappointed me, but there's a part of me that feels like I'm waiting for something to be revealed, like some change to happen. And the way people talk about quote unquote endgame in this, I feel like there might be something I just don't know yet. But I'm kind of like waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Like going into this game, like I said this before, I was super hyped for it. And I was like, if I was to compare it to Breath of the Wild, I don't think I could as far as what it means to the franchise. Like, I think I was looking forward to this, and I kind of alluded to this in my video essay that went up, that, like, I was kind of looking at this game as the Breath of the Wild for Mario games. And playing it, like, it's not that in the sense that Breath of the Wild reinvents what Zelda is, and it kind of, like, to me, Breath of the Wild redefines open world games, like, it revolutionizes it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, agreed, like, playing Mario Odyssey, like, I don't know if I would say Mario Odyssey revolutionizes even, like, 3D platformers. I think it takes the genre and it pushes it forward, more forward than it's ever been. Like, this is one of the best 3D platforms I've ever played, easily, to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I, and we can probably start even shifting to critiques, because, like, to me, the only thing that's keeping this game back is that, one, it is very easy, but I think that's partly because it's designed to be, like, this open experience. Like, each level, or most of the levels are designed to be more open as far as how you explore them and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. they want to appeal, in wanting to appeal to everybody from kids to adults, there are a lot of power moons that are very, very easy to come across. And then there are power moons that are more hard, and power moons that are very hidden, and power moons, like, the level ranges from, like, super easy power moons to super hard power moons. And they are all equal, which I think dampens it a little bit, because, like, I don't feel as rewarded when I get a power moon, because, like, a lot of the power moons are just, like, hey, the power moon's sitting right there, and I see it, and I grab it. Whereas some power moons are, like, I'm going to do this, throw my hat, dive to it, bounce off it, do a wall jump, do a backflip. Oh, I got this moon. And it took me like 10 tries. And those are still the same reward. So that kind of dampens a little bit for me. There's that. And then there's the fact that, like, the levels are not as big as I thought they were going to be initially. But also, I don't think that they need to be big. Mm-hmm. Sand Kingdom is big. Sand Kingdom is definitely big. The other levels seem to be a pretty decent size, but they're a good size for a platformer. And maybe, like, this is me not knowing game design, and maybe, like, the idea of very big levels and 3D platformers maybe just doesn't work because of the nature of the game. I don't know, but either way, I'm still pretty impressed. I'm still very satisfied with these levels.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Alex, Alex Van Aken, how long have you been playing the game, and how far are you?
I told you to refer to me as A Swizzy.
A Swizzy.
I have been, I think I'm three, I'm not that far in, like 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. I'm only on the fourth kingdom. I just unlocked Wooded Kingdom yesterday. I've been playing through that. I spent a lot of time in Cascade and Sand Kingdom. I just really enjoyed those levels and was kind of milking everything for what it was. But yeah, I'm 3 to 5 hours in, and really enjoying it. But I think by far the standout for me is Cascade. I know that's like the first kingdom that you kind of get to, but I just think everything about that kingdom is really fun, and it's just like one giant puzzle, whereas like Sand Kingdom's really cool, but I felt like there's a lot of dead moments in it. Mm-hmm. Like where I'm running to this thing, and if there's not a taxi near me, it's gonna take a few minutes, so I guess I'll just roll and roll and roll. But also, like, Sand Kingdom had some great platforming bits, like when you're in the sky on like the floating platforms, there's a lot of great moments up there. And also, like, the 2D platforming in that level is really great, or the 2D, like, when you like go into the walls,
yeah,
there's some really great moments on those. Yeah. But I think Cascade was just like they introduced so many things to you. You get to play around with the T-Rex and just kind of run around as that. You get your first moment doing the 2D, like, pixel art platforming. There's some great hidden power moons. Like, I just love the aesthetic of that level as well. It's very, like, easy going and just feel good. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Nice. So you kind of said you kind of mentioned your favorite moments there. I kind of mentioned mine being New Donk City. Alex O'Neill, were there any other like favorite moments you had while playing the game that aren't necessarily like spoilerish or anything like that?
A lot of the standouts would probably be more spoilerish. There are very little things that pleased me a lot that I don't want to give away. Kind of like, you know, there are very little things in Breath of the Wild that are really incredible.
Yeah.
I'll say, like, the escalation of some of the mechanics that seem like really simple up front, that, like, even you mentioned in mm-hmm. Cascade Kingdom that you see for the first time there, like, the what they end up doing formatting wise with that stuff is like really surprising.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And just like the stuff that harkens back to other 3D Mario games, like previous 3D Mario games, has been some of the stuff that just has put such a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the tone here on Super Mario Sunshine is. I'm a big Sunshine fan. I know it gets a lot of hate. But there are moments where, like, you throw Cappy on a scarecrow, and then you don't have Cappy, and then you, like, doing that will unlock an area or create a challenge that you have to do without Cappy, and it changes. It reminds me of, like, those levels of Sunshine where you lose your flood and you have to kind of figure out what to do. And those moments are really, really empowering, and really fun, especially like the more complex ones. So there nothing like from early on has really stood out to me. New Donk City was definitely a big one for me. Like you said, Blessing.
Yeah.
Especially like how that goes out, like, is a really, really great moment. So
One of the best moments I've had in a video game this year.
Yeah, it's like, it's just bombastic in a way that you're like, man, I just wanted this.
It's sensory overload, and it's very over the top, to the point where you're like, this is happening right now, and this is awesome.
And also like how that stage starts also is like totally a surprise. And you're like, whoa, okay.
New Donk City is a treat, man.
Yeah. And there, the stage that I'm on now, man. Like, yeah, it's very good. another great surprise. I am very excited to see your reaction to the stage I'm on now, Blessing.
I'm super hyped.
I know, because I'm sure there will be tweets of, like, what did I just get to? But I will say, like, the formatting of the levels has been a really great surprise, too. Like, there's kind of, like, a mini story to each level. Not, like, a narrative story, but, like, you know, these main moons that you collect kind of lead to one another, and then that ends, and then it's just like, okay, cool,
yeah,
go explore. And sometimes that like changes the visuals of the level as well. That's really nice, and it's just like, okay, now this is like the free roam version of this, and it's just a great time. I think that's a really smart format, and it gives you kind of like that linear 3D Mario bit while also giving you this new kind of open-ended feeling of it too.
Yeah, I think that's all awesome. Before we move on to the next segment, do we have like anything else as far as like, even like, we didn't really get into negatives as much. Do you guys have anything that you wish that the game did that it didn't do, or something you wish it did better or more?
I think I was kind of with you. I was expecting the levels to be a bit bigger. But then again, like, I look at like my favorite worlds so far, and they're definitely more middle-sized maps that, because it's almost like with the middle-sized maps, like there's something like every 5 feet to do, whereas like in the bigger maps like Sand Kingdom, like I said, it's like, okay, I need to roll for a little bit, I need to run for a little bit before I get to something. But that would be like my only critique. Like, I feel like I'm too early also to really give like a really solid in-depth critique of like my issues with the game, because honestly, I don't really have a ton of issues with it right now. It's more so like I'm kind of in that stage that you both have talked about. Like, is there something more? Like, I'm waiting for that kind of what the other Alex said. Like, I'm waiting for that second shoe to drop, but I know I have like a long way to go. And I think like once I get to New Donk City, I think I'm going to enjoy it a lot more just from little bits I've seen of that zone. Like more of just a playground. That's what I'm looking for, honestly. At my point in the game, so I'm excited to keep playing.
Nice.
For me, like, and this is in the grand scheme of things, it's a very trivial thing to be like pretty frustrated with, but man, like, the map is just such a bummer. Like, selecting the kingdoms from this very weird linear map is like super, like, compared especially to the game, is like super uninspiring.
Yeah.
But that only comes as like a really big critique for me, because I think back to like the last 3D Mario game, Mario 3D World, has like an amazing world map. And I'm like just such a sucker for a world map. Like, Cuphead has a world map, and it just like, it brings me delight every time I see it. But like past that, like if we go back to Galaxy 1 or Sunshine or 64, like this area that acts as the connective tissue between levels is one of, if not the best part about those games. And Odyssey has none of that. It's just like a static map that you select stages from. And the worlds make up for that for sure, but it's just the connective tissue to those kingdoms lacks the same ingenuity and delight that the kingdoms themselves have, and it's just, it's kind of a bummer. But like, yeah, that's, again, very small in the grand scheme of things, but I would have preferred like even something with a little bit more bounce to it, but that's all.
Yeah, I had a similar thing, like I had a similar thought earlier where I was playing, and I was like, this game I feel is missing a hub world, and I don't know how they would do it given mm-hmm. the premise of the game. I don't know if they could make, because they try to do it with the Odyssey a mm-hmm. bit, but it's kind of, you go into the Odyssey and it's like it's 2 inches in there, like you have no space to really yeah. like roam in there, nothing to discover, nothing to see. But yeah, I was kind of missing out on that too. And yeah, like the world select screen is kind of like, it's modern and it's like, it's clean and stuff, but also it's like too clean to the sense that
uninspiring.
Yeah, it's almost yeah. uninspiring and almost lacks personality because of that. Yeah. And I've been noticing that a lot lately with like Nintendo games, like specifically even like the Mario games. Like I feel like Mario Kart has a similar thing when you go into like the online menus and it's like, wow, this feels very like we're trying to be like technology more than a Nintendo game. Mm-hmm.
But like I think back to like Galaxy's 2's like Mario's head ship.
Yeah.
And like just walking around yeah. that, I'm like, man, this is rad. But like, again, in the grand scheme of things, it's pretty small. But that I feel like of the things I'm expecting to change, like that's what I'm kind of waiting for. Like to, there should be some weird moment where the world map changes. That probably won't happen, but I really hope it does.
Yeah,
I mean, perhaps you beat the game and something opens up. You know, that would be that could like serve the main plot of the game. Like you said, Bless, doesn't really fit to have a hub world with the events of the story, but maybe like after you beat the story, one opens up. Like, I don't know. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into the next segment, I wanted to open up with our impressions, because since this is like the second episode, since this is the first episode since the game released, I figured that we should might as well come out with that, you know, good old punch to the face with our impressions, with our like kind of review here. It's not really an OKBeast review, but might as well call it that. But for those who don't know, you need to know that New Donk City Radio is your number one source for following Mario's adventures as he odysseys into various kingdoms and lands. So I'm still reading this, getting used to reading this description. We're a weekly limited run podcast series. If you like the show, subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter and Instagram. A couple of announcements. Remember that New Donk City Radio is out every Wednesday. Also, subscribe to youtube.com/OKBeast. We have a Mario Odyssey review coming soon. I'm working on it, and I'm trying to get through the game at a decent pace so that I can revisit levels so we can talk about them on the podcast, but also finish the game so I can actually do the review. So the review is coming soon, so be on the lookout for it. Also, rate us on iTunes, because every rating helps. Like we said before, ratings got us number 55 or number 47. On the iTunes games charts, and so rate us, that really helps. And this is one I just, oh, also before I get to the last one, New Donk City Radio shirts are available on okbeast.com/store. The shirts are awesome. I'm getting a long sleeve one with the New Donk City Radio logo, and it looks super cool. It's almost like Mario Odyssey gear, but not really, because it's OKBeast gear, but it's like
buy it, y'all. I need to get the rest of the amiibos. Yeah, buy them.
Daddy needs his amiibo money.
I still haven't gotten I almost got an amiibo at the midnight release, and I was like, I had to hold myself back, because I've been spending a lot of money on games lately, and I feel like I've been irresponsible. Alex Van Aken's holding up his Mario in a white tuxedo. Does he have that costume in the game?
Yeah, God, I'm playing with this costume in the game, because I guess
you get it from the amiibo.
Speaking of new donks,
jeez. And now he's showing Mario's donk on the camera. I added an announcement. For the love of God, don't spoil the game for us. Please. Please. I've been getting tweets lately where I'm like, I don't know if I wanted to see that. And it's getting into some territories. Somebody might have spoiled the ending for me. I don't know if they have or have not.
I saw some stuff, man. And I saw like, some stuff, too. I wish I didn't see that.
And, like, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Please don't spoil the game for me, please. I'll have the game finished soon, and so when I have the game finished, I'll let you know on the podcast, and you can even DM it to me so other people don't get spoiled. But yeah, I appreciate y'all's enthusiasm. Please don't spoil the game for me, please. let's get into our next segment, which is what I'm calling...
Hold on. Hold your horses.
What up?
Special announcement, hot off the press. Oh, Extra snap. Life is happening November 10th and 11th.
I thought you were going to say House of Cards is canceled.
Oh, no. November 10th and 11th, Extra Life is happening, 5 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time, 24 hours, giveaways, stream milestones, we have guests on. It's going to be a good time. So yeah. Make sure twitch.tv/OKBeastNow.
Yep,
check it out.
We'll likely be streaming Mario Odyssey there. It's going to be a great time. And we'll be playing Hidden Agenda for 6 hours. Mm. I haven't convinced Alex yet, but I'm going to because that sounds like an awesome time.
That does sound like an awesome time.
Right? Mm. This next segment is the Kingdom Tour. It's where we go kingdom by kingdom and kind of break them down and analyze them and talk about our thoughts on them. And so to start off, the first kingdom, the Cat Kingdom, we're in Bonatin. Do you guys know how to pronounce that?
Bonatin, name? I think. Like
just be confident and people will believe you.
We're in Bonetown.
We're in Bonetown.
We're in Bonetown in the Cap Kingdom.
Bone Soul's ready.
How do you guys feel when you landed in this kingdom?
Okay. I landed in this kingdom and felt like Goku when he fell off the giant road and was in the death zone or whatever. That's what I felt like.
It's the nerdiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I was trying to remember the names of those things, but it's been like
Snake
10
Road.
Years since I watched. Snake Road, thank you. And the Death Kingdom of Dragon Ball Z.
I don't
Z.
know what it's called under there.
The Dark Zone, the Twilight, I don't know. That's what I felt like. The game opens up and you get booted off the ship and you land in the zone and you're like powerless, your hat's torn up, and it's like, man, I'm Goku right now. That's all I've got.
Pause during a Mario game. I'm Goku right now.
Aesthetically, it's really spooky. I really enjoyed it. It was just like a fun playground to like get the powers down and like just mess with my moves a lot.
Can we talk about how like the game opens and you're just like on Bowser's ship, like fighting him? Like
it's a very cold open of like, oh wow, this is the ending to another Mario game. It looks
in
like
media
like,
res.
Yeah. I wish it actually. I don't think it is literally, but I wish it was like the ending to another Mario game. Like it's the ending to 3D World or something.
I kind of wanted. Like the game to open with like a 25-minute scene of Bowser just like buying those clothes, like trying on different suit jackets.
The rabbits show up.
Yeah, like I just wanted Bowser interacting with clothes because he looks so good.
Yeah, he does.
Also, the premise of the game is awesome. Of the fact that like the story of the game is that Bowser is going to these different kingdoms to like collect things for his wedding with Peach. It is so awesome. And so, like, he's in Cap Kingdom because he needed a tiara. And, like, he goes to... And we'll get to, like, the next kingdom. So, like, he goes to, like, the Sand Kingdom to get... Wait, what does he go to Sand Kingdom to get? A ring? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like an ancient ring.
Yeah, and so, like... First of all, out of all the Mario stories... This one, actually, there's barely a such thing as a Mario story. This is the most story.
Let me tell
Mario
you, caught me off guard when he took Peach away. It was like, did not see that coming.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
I was like, dang, what? Dang, I wonder if she's gonna get out of this. But yeah, like, so the premise is awesome. The way you land in Cap Kingdom is very random. Like, it happens with no reason. But it's Mario, so it doesn't matter. Cap Kingdom, I really like. I went back.
I never went back.
Yeah,
I want to go back.
Did you get any power moons while you were there?
I have zero power moons in Cap Kingdom.
Yeah, and so like I left right, and I got to like I think I was on like the fourth or fifth kingdom, and I was like, maybe I should go back to Cap Kingdom because like if you look at your list, like there are like 25,
maybe 17, maybe
how? 17. I feel like I searched high and low.
Yeah, there's a bunch of power moons there, so I went back and I was like,
"Man, I suck at Mario."
Yeah, there are definitely power moons there. They're very well hidden though. Like, yeah. I'll tell you, I really like Cap Kingdom because like the moons are actually pretty well hidden. You really have to explore it to get some. I'm still missing like maybe 10 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Onia, what are your thoughts on Cap Kingdom?
Cap Kingdom's cool because it reminds me of the field outside of Peach's castle in Mario 64. It's just kind of like a play space to figure out what you're doing with Cappy, like what your moves are, what you can do. A lot of hills. It's like a pretty flat area generally with small hills on it. So it's like just jump and throw your hat at stuff. I like it. You know, as far as like an opening place, it doesn't like look crazy like, you go from Cap Kingdom, which kind of is, like, the most boring-looking kingdom, to, like, Cascade Kingdom, which looks crazy.
Yeah.
But I think as far as, like, just a playpen to just kind of figure out your new abilities and what you can do with Cappy, like you said, like, the jump, throw Cappy, dive at him, jump up, you know, stuff like that. It's a really cool place for that.
Yeah, I would recommend to everybody, like, listening, like, if you haven't, go back to Cap Kingdom and play around for a bit, because you wouldn't, it very much does seem like there's nothing there. Like, it seems to be just a tutorial level, but, like, there are 17 or so moons there. And, yeah, like, when you actually explore it, it's pretty fun. Like, it's definitely not one of the more fun kingdoms. It's not, it's not great compared to stuff like Cascade or the Sand Kingdom or New Donk City, but, like, it is very much, it reminds me of old school platforming, to where, like, it's small, you really know the area because it's very small, and you really have to work for it to get the pirate moons, because they are not all that obvious. And also, it's a pretty chill place. It's a very chill land.
It's like ghosts. Yeah. I don't know why the hats are ghosts, though.
Yeah, it's a very spooky place.
Yeah.
Very foggy. Also, I was going to tweet this. I totally forgot to tweet this. But if you look at the background, like the backdrop of Cap Kingdom, it is the spookiest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is. So if you look at the background, right, there's a city in the background, and each of the buildings in the city has on a top hat, like a black top hat. And the buildings are all kind of like swirly, and like they look very spooky, and the fact that each of the buildings has on a top hat is probably one of the scariest things I've seen in a game this year. It makes no sense.
Are the buildings alive?
It's very possessed? Eerie. Yeah, it's like, do they all have like a spirit in them, like Cappy, or like it's very unsettling. But to move on, like, next up we go to the Cascade Kingdom, Fossil Falls. How do you guys feel about this place?
Yeah, like I said, this is my favorite moment so far in the first four kingdoms. It's where, like you said, Alex, like, Cap Kingdom is kind of minimalistic in a way, as far as what you can do. And you go to Cascade, and this is where I was like, holy crap, this game is gorgeous. Especially like when you're docked and you have that 1080 going. Or whatever it is, and it, oh my gosh, it looks phenomenal. And there's, this is like the place where like I started finding so many secrets, very quickly. Like, oh, I check behind this thing, and there's like this painting here. I can't access that yet. Oh, there's a chest over here. Oh, like there's just so much to do immediately. And by far, like, just set a fantastic impression, for the game, I think.
Yeah. O'Neal?
Yeah. It's just like, I think they definitely did the Cap Kingdom, like making that kind of dreary on purpose. So the impact of hitting Cascade, like, just such a great juxtaposition of color, and that it's that first time that, you know, Odyssey really shows you its character of like, this is a vibrant, fun, colorful game, and we're going to show this to you. And just like, you know, you get to take over T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's real fun.
I think for me, that was the first time where I let out, like, a whoa, like, this is cool, while playing the game, of, like, taking over the T-Rex. Like, I knew you could do that because I've seen the trailers, but actually, like, doing it in the game, actually, like, controlling the T-Rex, I was like, this is kind of crazy. Like,
this is
pretty cool. I really like Cascade Kingdom for the fact that it reminds me of the first level in Mario 64, and, like, It has the same feeling of, it has the hill, right? It has like a mountain to climb, which is very similar to the first level. And like, I think it's, I don't know if this is an interview or this is just like an essay I watched, but I think it's said about like the first level in 64 that like the mountain, right, the reason it's there is to give you something to climb, something to like to accomplish, right? And I feel the same way in Cascade Kingdom. Like, it's linear without being linear. Like, it's an open world or an open land, but there's a place to go to. There's a mountain to climb, and you get there, and there's a boss battle, right? Am I making that up?
Yeah.
So I played so much of the game now that I'm getting all the boss battles mixed up. But like, get there, there's a boss battle, and you know, you get to explore. When you finish, you get to still continue to explore and kind of unravel this kingdom. And the more I think about it, the more similarities I think it does have to the 64 game, 64 level. But yeah, that kingdom is dope. Was there any like moments you guys had aside from the dinosaur, or like, I think that was the first time I found the. I think that's the first time anybody actually finds the 2D pixelated Mario.
Yeah,
which is a pretty cool.
I think
moment.
Also like ping ponging the chain guys.
Oh yeah, the chain chomps.
Yeah, chain chomps. You can like. Pogo them between each other and like hit like certain obstacles to unlock
the boss
stuff.
There as the gold chain chomp.
Yeah,
that's what that was.
That's really fun. Yeah. And like we skipped over it, but like yeah, that first moment you possess a frog.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And Cap.
That's pretty awesome.
It's just good.
Isn't that scary?
It's bewildered. Yeah.
It's Isn't terrifying. That frightening? Like
it's almost horrific.
I almost wish that cutscene would play every time you capture something, just so you can like relive and understand the pain that Mario's going through.
Yeah.
Like every time in the process, because you do like, it throughout the game without thinking. Yeah, but you don't think about what Mario's going through as it's happening. You just do it like willy nilly, like oh, I need to get over that ledge. I'm going to capture this thing. But like every time that happens, Mario's experiencing pain, and we just let it happen every time.
They show you the molecules on the frog,
like horror.
Frog.
Yeah. like the weird images of the frog like in the background, like with its mouth open, its eyes wide, you're like, what is happening?
Yeah. Oh man.
It's very unsettling.
Yeah.
Do we have anything left for those two kingdoms you guys want to address before we move on to sand?
There's some secrets there I want to uncover that I don't know what to do to unlock them yet. But there's a painting there that I don't have a painting.
Oh yeah. I saw the same thing too, and I don't.
I'm like just waiting for like maybe it's end game stuff. Like I can come back and jump into a painting. Like I want to know what that is, because I tried everything to trigger it.
I found. So yeah, go ahead, O'Neal.
I was just gonna say, I have a suspicion that if you went back, you would be able to access that painting now.
Interesting.
This point, because let's say I've seen multiple paintings. Since then.
So I've also seen multiple paintings in the game that I've been able to access.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've tried going back to Cascade Kingdom and I still can't access that painting for some reason.
I have an idea how to do it.
That was one of like the little surprises that I really loved was just like...
Oh yeah, that like harkens back to...
Just going right back like to 64. Mario 64.
Yeah, I was like, dude, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm. I need to go back to Cascade then.
it could have been a thing because you didn't have the Odyssey like functioning at that point. You couldn't go through a painting because that was when Cascade's where you find the Odyssey and then you have to repair it.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's why you can go through it there at that point, because like I found a painting. I don't know what level it was in, but then it took me to the Luncheon Kingdom.
Okay.
Which you've seen in the trailers, and as Blessing knows, is very deep into that game.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Okay.
It's surprising how deep some of these levels are into this game.
Yeah.
Like you don't see New Donk City for like a minute.
Yeah, it's like World 6 or something. I think so.
Yeah, it's like deep in there. Deeper than I thought. I thought it was gonna be one of the first ones.
Yeah, I was expecting to jump into that hole in the desert, which we'll segue into the Sand Kingdom. There's a giant hole, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go to New Donk. I was like, nope, that's not where you're going. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
No, you're going to the Nintendo World Championships.
Yep,
let's move on to Sand Kingdom. So Sand Kingdom, otherwise known as Toast Arena. How do you guys like this this little place? Big place.
This place has a lot of personality, and I kind of knew that going in. This was like one of the bigger kingdoms that we'd seen before the game released. And it's like where the infamous Sombrero Mario is. And, you know, I think it's a lot of fun. And you like you're introduced to costumes for the first time. And I think there's a lot of moments like within my first 5 minutes in this kingdom, I think I unlocked like 5 power moons. Like there's just a lot of exploration immediately in the town. And it was just like, it was super fun. It's like, oh, I can't wait to get to New Donk City because this little village is just really fun to jump around and find stuff. But yeah, really strong, first impression of that level. I think, everything through like the main boss fight of that, of the Sand Kingdom is like really strong. And then you start getting into like, okay, this run is a little long in the tooth, right? But that's kind of my impressions of that. I haven't unlocked everything in that zone, but I think I've gotten most of the obvious power moons on that level. And now I just need to like dive deeper. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm shocked by how well hidden these power moons are, because I think I have like a bit more than the bare minimum you need to move on. And I'm just having a hard time finding them. Like the ones that whenever I see one, I'm able to get it. I'm able to figure it out. But it's just like finding them that's hard, especially in a level like this where it's a desert, so it's big and it's a lot of space. It's funny like running around and seeing like nothingness and it's like where are these things?
Yeah, there's 69 power moons in Sand Kingdom, and I have like 27, and I felt like I combed that place.
Same.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this game is going to be the Donkey Kong 64 where people are like discovering coins 20 years later.
Sign like me
that.
Up, dog.
I think I saw that on Twitter like a few months ago, and that I'm reminded of that with this game. Just like, do I just run around and just ground pound everywhere? But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this because it's the first kingdom of many where you're like, oh, there's just like a town part of this that you can just like hang out and talk to people, and they're just NPCs that just want to talk, you know, just hang out. And like that's a for the bigger kingdoms, that's a theme that like kind of gets revisited a lot. And I don't know, like it's cool. It reminds me some like of my favorite other 3D Mario levels, like I don't remember what it's called, but in Sunshine there's like the village like suspended on these like really long mushrooms. And part of that level is just like this village of people just hanging out, and some of the shine sprites in that level are just like helping people. And Sand Kingdom is the first kingdom that feels like kind of on that scale, and also where there's just folks hanging out and you can talk to them and help them out. And it was also the first time I like you see a building off to the side and you're like, oh, what's up with that? You just go there and it's like a whole series of things. It's a lot of fun. And there's just no wall inhibiting you from that again.
I haven't been asking this because of time, but I want to know for this kingdom, like what's one of your favorite power moons that you've gotten from Sand Kingdom? Because I think mine, should I say this one? No, I'll say it. Because like we're only talking about the first four kingdoms I've played for the people list. I don't know if I stress that. So if you haven't played these kingdoms and you want spoiler free, then sorry. But yeah, like one of my favorite ones is going doing the boss battle, right? The one with like the hands,
the fist,
and then like leaving and then coming back later. If you go back to the same area, you can go back to the area and there's another thing. There's another activity where the boss will be that I thought was really cool. Yeah, and I won't say I haven't gone back to that. Because it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the best bosses in the game, also, I think, so far for me.
It's a really good one.
Yeah, just because it's like, it looks different, it's got these ice hands, it's cool.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, the giant hand from Smash, like, I was playing that.
Oh, it was, it kind of was like Master Hand, a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's, like, one of the first bosses where I actually, like, needed to concentrate, and, like, some of the other, like, the wedding party planner bosses... They're almost like, I feel like they're mini bosses. Like they're so easy. And you can almost just like zone out and just do them because it's like they are capitalizing on like, you're supposed to execute on what you've learned previously in that kingdom. Whereas like, and that was a thing with this boss, but I felt like I was like, oh, I need to like actually be dodging his attacks. And you know, it was really fun.
Yeah. Nice. There are some bosses in this game. Hoo boy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's some bangers.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Man, we haven't talked about the Brutals, which I guess we'll have to save till next week, because I like the Brutals. Like, they're such a weird... They're very much like the Bowser Kids or whatever they're called.
Koopalings,
yeah. But they're like... I don't even know how to describe
it. It just plays into the theme so well.
Yeah, they're like, we're just here to get Bowser's wedding awesome. Like, they're like bridesmaids or like groomsmen, essentially. Like, I think that whole concept is pretty awesome, especially as like an analog to the Koopalings almost.
Yeah, they're fun.
Let's move on to the Wooded Kingdom real quick, and then wrap up. After our question of the week. But Wooded Kingdom, otherwise known as Steam Gardens, how do you guys feel about this place?
I will say, like, I like that. It's like, hey, do you want to go to Lake Kingdom or Wood Kingdom?
Yeah.
And, like, it gives you that choice a couple of times. as well. And it, like, it's cool. You go to the other one right after that.
Yeah.
So if you chose Wood Kingdom, you go to Light Kingdom next. If you chose Light Kingdom, you go to Wood Kingdom next. But yeah, you know, it's a cool idea. Wood Kingdom's dope, man. It's so pretty.
Yeah. It's the first kingdom that I was like, man, this music, like, it really stood out to me. Like, just like a great, like, guitar track, that plays throughout it. I'm still like, I haven't finished Wood Kingdom. You're welcome to spoil it, but my impressions are kind of cut short. So I'm at the, there's like some really great, like 2D-esque puzzles that are going on when you possess the stretchy guys. I'm not sure their official name, that like you're moving around like panels and platforms, and there's some really great like 2D puzzle moments in the very like first few minutes of that kingdom. But yeah, like Alex said, and like, just looks gorgeous. Again, it sounds great. That's kind of where my impressions end, unfortunately.
What I like also about the sound of it is, like, when you start, it's just silent. You just hear the trees and bugs and birds chirping. And then, like, when you hit the first threshold of the map, the music comes in, and it's like a really big moment.
Yeah.
It's just, 'cause that's the first time they do anything like that. And it just, it really sets that, the tone for that level, and it gives it way more personality. It makes it pop a lot more.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part about that level is coming in and then going and trying to progress it, and then coming across the quiz or the test or whatever, and then the Sphinx asking the question of like, oh, what is Bowser looking for in this land? And I was not paying attention whatsoever to what the locals were saying. And so, like, I was just like packing my, like, oh, cool, it's level. I just want to get my moons and dip to the next thing to see what it is. And so I get to the Sphinx, and they ask me, and I'm like, and I like guess, I forget what I guess, but I guess the wrong answer, and they're just like, nope. And then I was just like, all right, well, I guess I'm going back, and I guess I'm actually playing the level the way they want me to. But yeah,
so I didn't find the Sphinx in that level.
Really? You didn't get a quiz?
Nah, it's just, I didn't find it. I'm sure, like, it's there.
Wait, like, I had to do it to get, like, to get to the next, like, part of the level. Like, it was like a requirement, I think. Am I crazy?
Wow, yeah, crazy. I did not have to go through a Sphinx to get. I found another Sphinx in another level.
And it was a quiz thing.
And it was a quiz, yeah. But okay. I did not find a Sphinx in that level at all. I never had to.
Interesting.
Really,
wow. Alex? Did you?
Yeah, I had it. Like, it's like the barrier to entry for me.
Okay. Interesting. For a second, I wonder if it's
like
crazy.
A bug or something.
That's
or
super
like
weird.
Maybe like they ran.
I don't think it's a bug. Things. I think I just like went around. I probably found some other dumb way
maybe
to do
did,
something.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because I'm like, they wouldn't let me do anything before I answered that question.
I mean, I got the quiz right. It told me the answer right beforehand in the cutscene.
Mm-hmm. I was not paying attention. I was totally like,
is it like right near where you enter the level?
Yeah. So you pass the robot vendors.
Yeah,
and there's like you walk the waterfalls on your right. You walk through the little door, like, and then like it opens up, and like you play the level. There's like a Sphinx there.
Yeah, I totally did not see that at all.
That's incredible.
I think I jumped up on the lip of that like area, and I started exploring first.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, that's cool.
Did you guys? There's a puzzle on a tree. It's like one of those screenshot puzzles. I've yet to do one of those. Have you guys?
Yeah, I've taken screenshots. I have no idea what's going on with them.
Yeah, I've taken screenshots. I haven't solved anything. So, like in Wooded Kingdom, there's a tree like in that beginning area, and on the tree there's a picture of like, I don't even know how to describe the picture. It's like a Koopa, and the Koopa's doing something. I don't know.
Yes, but I have this picture as well.
Yeah, and so I took a screenshot because the game's like, hey, you should probably take a screenshot, and it's used to solve a puzzle. I have no idea where this puzzle is or how to solve it. Or, like, there's two moments I've had so far playing the game where you have to take a screenshot and use that screenshot to solve a puzzle.
So I found one later that was, like, for sure of Cascade Kingdom. So I think it might be just reflective of another kingdom.
Interesting.
Which is cool. But I found, like, one that is, like, not clearly another kingdom. It is, like, a very smart, I don't want to say exactly, you've probably already seen it, Bless, but it's like a very smart, like, negative space puzzle of like,
is it the one in the beach area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know where this is going to play out somewhere, but I can't wait to find it.
Yeah.
It's the upside down,
actually.
Yeah. I'm super curious because I love stuff like this where it's one of the, like, half of platformers is platforming, and the other half is, like, puzzle solving, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, curious to see, because it is reminding me of The Witness in the way that it's being very cerebral in its puzzle design.
Yeah, like, what if there's like a Witness like twist at the end of this game?
That would be crazy. You just
jump on the moon.
You just like look at the world. The worlds connect. They're all just one world somehow. Yeah, and I wish we could spend more time in this segment. Hopefully next week I'll try to frame it so that we have more time to talk about each of the levels, because I really like breaking these levels down. But
I do want to say one thing.
Oh yeah.
Just because, like, I've been thinking about this, and I wanted to throw it out here on the Super Mario Odyssey podcast. Why not?
Yeah.
And it's from, like, Late Kingdom. You can capture a cheap. And I was, like, thinking about how Mario Odyssey letting you play as, like, Goombas and cheap, like,
yeah,
creates this weird, like, empathy for the Mario... Right. Enemies.
Oh yeah, I kind of view all the enemies as friends in a way.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Me too.
Thanks, man. And everybody but the yellow Goombas.
Yeah. Screw those Goombas.
Yeah, the yellow Goombas suck.
But I was like flopping around on land as a cheap in Lake Kingdom. I was like, I get it, man. I get it now.
Yeah. You can understand the struggle. Like,
yeah, like I get it.
And I agree with that. Actually, like I've identified more with the enemies in this Mario game than I have in any other Mario game.
It's
like
super
in
red.
Mario 1, in Mario 3, it's just like, screw these guys, like, I don't care about this piranha plant. But in Mario, like, in Mario Odyssey, I'm like, man, this chain chomp just needs some love, man. This chain chomp is just going through it. Like, I just need to understand its struggle and use it to my advantage to break this wall. I understand.
Yeah. 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 It's cool.
If only Mario was real and we could look at the other person's shoes in the mirror. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
For those who don't know,
Unity
is a psychopath. So every week we have a question of the week, and last week ours was: if you had the choice, what would you use Cappy to transform into? We tweeted that out, and you guys tweeted back your answers. And let me go through real quick. We have JC Weekly said that he'll transform into a Mario game without the Cappy mechanic.
Damn.
Right? Going ham. Fanatics 4 just sent a gif of Luigi doing the dab. So we really appreciate that.
Accurate.
Steven Coffin said he'll use the transform move to, or the capture mechanic to transform into a hat with eyes on it, which is very meta. Really appreciate it. Let's see. This is inside baseball, but Cameron Abbott says he'll transform into someone that Moises would actually want as their father, or Charles Barkley. So that's where if you're into the deep lore of Okie Beast, then you
same
understand
thing
that.
Though, you know.
Yeah, same, same. And Chris Full Moons, as his Twitter profile says, @ToWolves says, I transform into Microsoft or Sony and buy Visceral and create the Star Wars single player game that we want, which I really appreciate. I wish I got into some really dark territory. And so last week, that was our question. This week is no different. We also have a question inspired by Quentin Hoffman's tweet to us a while ago, which is very simple. What's your favorite outfit to wear in Mario Odyssey? Guys?
Oh, man. I can't.
I'm going to say... So I do a combo with the outfits, because all good fashion, what I've learned from my boy Kanye, fashion is art. I need the money to do the art, but like I can just express myself in whatever way I want. So I've been rocking the captain hat with the cowboy outfit. And then up 20 minutes ago, or whenever we started the show an hour ago, geez, I unlocked I figured out how to do amiibo. This is my first amiibo for the Switch. And I got the Mario wedding outfit that I've been playing with. And yeah, I'm gonna complete the cowboy outfit because I think that's just a very good outfit. And there's like some good science outfits out there. Like you can get like the white hair Mario and the science jacket. There's a lot of great combos. But yeah.
Shout out to the captain's hat that Cappy gives you, man. Like that's a really great piece of fashion for Mario to rock.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think for me, there is a costume that you can get in Cascade Kingdom, which is like Caveman Mario, and it is awesome. I just started playing with it, and I don't think I'm taking it off anytime soon. It's really good. Also, screw the economy.
1,000 gold coins to take my clothes off.
Exactly. Who thought of this? Who? I'm sure it's a joke. I'm sure it's they were thinking the same thing, and they're like, this will get them. This will make them laugh. But I'm looking at this, I'm like, dude, you're making me spend half my coins so I can be naked. Like, come on, man. Freedom ain't free, I guess.
One of my big favorite combos was your boxer briefs, your polka dot boxer briefs, which is 1,000 gold coins, but don't worry, you get plenty of money in this game. And you, at Lake Kingdom, you get like a snorkel and goggles. So I comboed those two up, and when I got to the Beach Kingdom, I just like lived that beach life fantasy.
Yeah, of course.
And it was beautiful. Chase that place.
Dude, shout out to the water levels in this game. I like them. But now it's time to wrap up. Alex O'Neill, where can the people find you?
You can find me talking about Super Mario Odyssey on Irrational Passions Podcast, which you can find on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher. And you can follow that on Twitter at Irrational Pod for updates on when it goes out, when we have new posts on irrationalpassions.com, and more. And if you want to follow me personally, I am at Owlfighter27, which spells just like it sounds. And I like Mario a lot. Is your question of the week, like, what's your favorite outfit?
Yeah.
So that's going out to people out there?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll say, man. I saw some that you probably don't want to see until you get them.
Oh, interesting.
Those were the things that I kind of got spoiled for me. There's one in particular, Blessing, that I do not want you to see until you get it.
Interesting.
So just be wary. I'm going to say that.
All right. If it's spoilery, I guess all these are kind of spoilery. But just be mindful, people out there, with your answers. And so, yeah, feel free to make sure to tweet your answers to the question of the week, and we'll make sure to turn it into a tweet so you can send it to us. But care for me, people.
Don't tweet at It's Van Aiken with them.
Tweet It's Van Aiken. I don't care. With the notifications. If you tweet at OKBeast, I'll still get the notifications. But if you tweet it directly at Alex, I don't get the notifications.
I'll try to read
them
quickly on the OKBeast account so the notifications disappear.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'll try to be on duty.
You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. That is at Blessing JR. You can find Alex on Twitter, Alex Van Aiken on Twitter at It's Van Aiken. You can find us both on OKBeast.com, making them sweet YouTube videos on YouTube.com/OKBeast. And everywhere you can find OKBeast, you can find us. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you so much to Alex O'Neill for joining us. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate Irrational Passions. Until next week.
My favorite people that have irrational passions.
They're very irrationally
passionate.
Love them
so much for that.
Irrationalpassions.com/extra life. November 11th, 12 p.m. Eastern.
There you go.
There's my like real subtle one.
Until next time, hit that sweet song.
Check. Listening to OKBeast. Hot 64 FM. New Dawn City Radio.
New Dawn City. Yeah. Welcome to New Dawn City, where the donks are fresh and the Goombas are pretty. New Dawn City.
Yeah. Pauline, take it away.
It's New Dawn. New Dawn City. Pop that Hennessy. Don't you touch my Odyssey.
It's New Dawn City, where the donks are fresh and the Goombas are so.
pretty. Yeah. It's New Dawn, New Dawn City.
Pauline, one more time.
Oh, it's New Dawn, it's New Dawn City, baby. Won't you come? Won't you come lay me down on the streets of New Dawn City? Back to you. It's New Dawn City, City Radio. You're listening to Hot 64 FM, New Dawn City Radio. Late night, New Dawn City Radio. Yeah.